Okay, and we will begin with the review of the minutes of December 4th. Are there any changes to be made?
Who was it, Al?
Yep.
It was Al.
Got it.
You have a second?
Yeah, I'll
second.
Okay.
Can I approve if I wasn't here, though?
What's that?
Can I approve if I wasn't here?
Of course.
Motion to, okay.
This is America.
We haven't had that call before. I think it's okay, but Amy will verify.
Yeah.
I'll approve it.
Okay.
Think of all the gyms.
There you go.
If Jeff comes, we'll bring up the item again.
Exactly. Lisa Bobadilla is going to have to do a, there's no public, so there's no public comments.
Right.
And according to business, item 4.1, Transportation Advisory Committee work plan.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy New Year to all of you. So before you this evening is the work plan for the Transportation Advisory Committee for this year. You have a staff report in your committee packet. I will not go over the summary of action items for last year unless you would like me to review them. I thought I would just focus on what we have planned as of today to bring to the committee members for 2018. You'll notice that the proposed action plan for 2018, we do not have dates next to some of these items. Some of them we know what months they'll be coming, but we wanted to leave it open-ended just in case things change. So the first thing that is has been a huge endeavor has been the citywide bike master plan. So we will be coming to the TAC. I just got some updates today from our consultant. So we will be presenting the draft bike master plan to the bike subcommittee in February with the draft plan for final review by TAC at the March 15th TAC meeting. Also that evening, we will also have the community workshop, where the community workshop will roll out the draft bike master plan. We will roll out the proposed projects, also with a draft prioritization and ranking of those projects. So more to come on that.
Same night that TAC approves it, you said?
No, in fact, you know what? I think what we're going to do that night is cancel the TAC meeting,
okay,
and the community workshop will be in lieu of the TAC
That's
meeting.
That's in March? Or
March, yes, March.
So TAC doesn't get to look at it before you roll it out to the public?
The TAC will review it at the February.
Oh, I thought you said
meeting.
March.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So the next item is review and provide feedback on the Contra Costa Express Bus Study. The Transportation Authority has finalized the Express Bus Study. We have asked the authority staff to come and make a brief presentation to the Transportation Advisory Committee sometime this year. So as soon as we get a date, we will schedule it for a TAC meeting. That Express Bus Study is rolling into some of the work that's being done for Innovate 680. If you'll recall, Tim Hale was here last December. He gave an update on Innovate 680. So some of the things that the Express Bus Study has called out in terms of recommendations will be rolled out in conjunction with Innovate 680. Receive an update and provide feedback on the proposed county connection route changes in anticipation of City Center Bishop Ranch grand opening. We are in the midst of finalizing some of the proposed route changes. We just today, actually, County Connection Sunset agreed to route changes that will be made. Those changes need to go to the County Connection Operations and Scheduling Committee. It's going on February 2nd. I believe the meeting's at 8 o'clock in Lafayette. And then we'll have this on the agenda for the February TAC meeting. And then there will be I believe, two public hearings, one with County Connection Board, and then a public hearing here in Sandermound to announce those changes to Route 35. Route 35 is the route that serves the Derby Valley and to and from the Dublin Pleasanton BART station. Just to summarize what has transpired is Sunset, in anticipation of the city center grand opening, has changed one or two of the bus stops adjacent to 2600 Camino Ramon and adjacent to City Center. The goal is to have a bus stop directly in front of City Center, and so they'll be talking about that at the meeting. Okay? So let's put that on the February agenda. We just got that finalized today, so we'll add that to February. All right, so receive updates on the Bollinger Canyon Road widening project. As you all know, good or bad, you've experienced probably congestion on Bollinger. The widening project is taking place. There are some lane closures. There, we are also removing all the pavers in front of City Hall, so the entrance into City Hall has been closed for the last few days. So we will have engineering come back to TAC probably in March with an update on the widening project. All right, receive update on the San Ramon Autonomous Vehicle Demonstration Project. We have a meeting on Monday, actually, with Stantec. Stantec is the consulting firm that is doing the testing of the autonomous vehicles within Bishop Ranch. So these autonomous vehicles, there are two of them, they're currently testing on private property within 2600 Camino Ramon. We are going to be testing those vehicles on public roadways, specifically in and around the City Center Business Park, in anticipation of City Center opening later this year. And so we have been working with the Transportation Authority, with Stantec, with Bishop Ranch to get the encroachment permits, the mapping, the routing, the license for the vehicles has been issued by DMV. All of that transpired over the course of the last month. So Monday we will be rolling out or discussing the rollout plan with the consultants. And so we'll have an update for you most likely February, Amy. I think we're ready to
be a full calendar for February.
Yeah. There's a lot happening in anticipation of City Center. But we want to bring this item to TAC before we start doing the public roadway testing. And then we'll send out a press release. There's also going to be a, I don't want to call it a ribbon cutting, but I don't know, we'll do some grand opening or some ceremony to celebrate the public roadway testing of the autonomous vehicles that will feature our mayor and city council members, the consultant team, and the Gomenson Project in Bishop Ranch.
Your autonomous scissors?
Yeah, autonomous scissors. That's a good one. All right. So next, review and comment on the Monarch Road Corridor Study. PJ's taken the lead on this study. We will have an update on this probably later this spring. As you know, to Jeannie's point, we have a lot on the horizon the next 2 or 3 months, and we haven't started this study, but we'll bring an update to the group probably spring. We'll have an update on the radar speed display sign program. PJ has also been taking the lead on this, coordinating with our police department and our public services group. She will have a brief update for all of you either next month or in March. We're going to be switching out from the portable radar trailer to more permanent radar speed display signs that we'll install on arterial roadways. We're going to be doing testing over the next few weeks with our public services group, so we'll have more of an update for you at the February meeting. Input and feedback on fiscal year 18 through 2023 CIP program. That is April. We always bring that to TAC in April. We're going to reconvene the Safe Routes to School subcommittee. PJ, again, will be taking the lead on that item. That subcommittee will probably be reconvened in April or May, and you'll be reviewing the observations or the results from all of the Safe Routes to School observations that are conducted in February and March and April. The next item, receive an annual update on the Santa Ramon Valley Street Smarts program. That'll be in June after the school year. Dolores Pita will have an update for you on that. Next item, receive an update on the Measure J Traffic Congestion Relief Agency, or TRAFICS. We will have the TRAFICS program manager attend the meeting likely in June with an update on TRAFICS. There are some changes that will be taking place over the course of the next 2 years with TRAFICS, and so she'll have an update for you on what those changes are.
Okay. So that update is going to be in June?
June or July, okay. Yeah. All right. Next item, form a transit shelter program subcommittee and provide input on the scope of work for program implementation. This is another item for the February TAC meeting. I think that's four now. All this is, though, is just to form a transit shelter subcommittee. So we'll identify three TAC members to sit on the transit shelter subcommittee. We're going to be rolling out in fiscal year 18-19. We're going to be rolling out a updated transit shelter program, where we're going to be looking at replacing all the existing transit shelters throughout the city outside of Bishop Ranch, and then adding new shelters in the Dodie Valley areas. So be thinking about that if you're interested in doing that. We're just going to make the appointments in February. Review and comment on the Bollinger Canyon Road Operations Analysis Study scope of work. We've talked about this before. This is the Bollinger Canyon Interchange, westbound to southbound 680 interchange. This will be likely in the fall. This is going to coincide with the Innovate 680 study. So likely we will do this in the fall. Next item, review and comment on the Sandermoon Iron Horse Trail bike pedestrian overcrossing final design scope of work. This will likely take place in the summer. We will be meeting with the Transportation Authority in the next 2 weeks. We're waiting to finalize that date, but that meeting will be to talk about who will be the lead agency doing final design, whether it's the City of San Ramon, the Transportation Authority, and then whoever the lead agency is, what's the role and responsibility of the partnering agency. So more to come on that, but likely this will come back to TAC, I would say, late spring, early summer. Next item, receive status update and provide input on the 511 Contra Costa TDM strategic plan program recommendations. The consultant has been hired by the Transportation Authority. It's ACOM. They are doing the 511 strategic plan update. Darlene Amaral, she's the city's transportation analyst. She oversees all of our TDM commuter incentive programs. She will be coming to the TAC with an update on the scope of work for that endeavor, likely in March or April. Status update on the TDM conditions of approval for City Center Bishop Ranch. We'll do that in the summer. We'll give you an update on where we are in anticipation of City Center opening. And then an update on the County Connection Citizen Advisory Committee. We will defer that till later this year, likely October or November. Okay, and I think that is it. Now, the question for TAC, is there anything that is not on this action plan that you would like to see? I do know that, you know, one of the things that we don't have on here is we need to come back to TAC with an update on the Bellingham parking issue. We have a city meeting with our mm-hmm. city attorney. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later, giving you an update about that on that. So we do need to bring that to TAC. We also need to take the TAC annual report to City Council, and the TAC chair for last year, Mr. DuPont, typically will present to the City Council. We should do, I think we're taking that in March.
Yeah, I believe the second meeting. But
second meeting in March? Yeah. Okay. To City Council. So it's the fourth Tuesday in March. It's the council's second meeting, but it's the fourth Tuesday of the month. Anything else that you do not see that is not on here that you would like to see?
So last meeting, we reviewed the plan for the Clark Canyon widening.
Mm.
So are we going to receive an update on that?
Oh, yes. Very good. Thank you.
Probably in April, right?
During CIP?
Yeah.
Okay. But let's make a note to have Amy, Amiri, not you, but the other Amy, focus on the status of that.
Okay.
I do know that engineering is taken, that's a city council in February for final approval.
Do you guys get statistics or operations of how successful the toll lane is out there?
Oh, the express line. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. We can get an update from MTC.
And you know what would be interesting also is accident rate, if it's gone up.
Okay.
With people darting back, trying to dart back in to avoid the overhead transponders.
Okay. We can get some data.
Why I'm curious about that is because, like, during the day, where normally the HOV lane previously was, you know, between hours in the morning, hours in the afternoon.
Yeah, 5 to 10 and then 3 to 7.
Now it's pushed all the traffic into those three lanes all day long, and the traffic out there on 680 has got to be heavier because the one lane during the non-commute hours is just open. No one's using it.
We can certainly get some data from
it. It would be interesting also to compare it to 580, where they added a lane and then made it toll, where on 680 they just converted, and to see how the two corridors operate, if they're operating differently.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I'd love to hear how many 50 cents they're collecting to travel the toll cost.
50 cents,
Or how much if they're making more on just on violators.
On violators, yeah. People just cash right, reading it out.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
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 Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
This is my one I'm looking for.
I think there's one underneath.
Brian, are you part of the public?
Huh?
Are you part of the public?
Yeah.
Okay. His
family. He's been here all the time.
Oh. No, but he arrived after public comment, so I didn't know.
That's right.
He had comment.
Okie doke. Council Connection Advisory Committee.
Okay, very good. There is not a staff report for this item. It's a verbal update. If you all recall Randy Pedersoli, he was the Citizen Advisory Committee member representing the City of San Ramon on County Connection. He has moved back to Chicago, so he has resigned from the Advisory Committee. So there's a volunteer opportunity for TAC members or a member of the public. I'm looking at Brian, but because you're the only member of the public here. So Amy has circulated what the County Connection Citizen Advisory Committee members are responsible for. So if you take a look at the information, you'll see that all of the agencies in the service area for County Connection, there's 11 of them, all of the agencies send one elected representative. Councilmember Hudson represents the City of San Ramon on the County Connection Board of Directors. The Citizen Advisory Committee, those are all citizens of one of the 11 agencies, and the Citizen Advisory Committee member also needs to be appointed by the City Council. There's no, you know, it's a volunteer position, there's no stipend, you don't get paid for it. I believe the meetings are held the second Tuesday, it's right here, the second Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the County Connection headquarters in Concord. So the meetings are during the day. It's one meeting a month. And you would be there as the city liaison to the advisory committee. And then we ask at TAC that the Citizen Advisory Committee member come back at least once a year and provide an update to the TAC on the activities of the advisory committee.
How long is the term? How long are they appointed?
Is it 2 years?
I believe it's 2 years.
So if any TAC members or member of the public is interested, I believe there's an application that you need to fill out. And then we have to take it to council and get council to recommend the appointment, and then we forward that to the County Connection Board of Directors. So if you're interested, please contact Amy and she will get you the application. We'll send it to our city council. We'll get council to approve it, and then we will forward it on to County Connection. So as of now, we are not represented on the Citizen Advisory Committee. That's that.
Okay. Moving right along to unfinished business 5.1.
Okay, I am PJ this evening. She is not here, obviously. And so PJ has prepared in your packet, there are two updates for items related to residential traffic calming. We have a request from a resident on Estero Drive. The request is to address speeding by Cal High students. You know, typically once school starts, we get near the high schools, we get requests from residents or calls to address speeding. And so PJ has initiated phase one of our traffic calming program. We've deployed the radar speed display or the radar trailer. She has submitted what we call selective enforcement request to our police department, specifically our traffic patrol division, and then she'll come back next month with an update on, or after 4 weeks, so hopefully next month, with an update on where we are in terms of data gathering for Estero.
So has Lisa's Mangoes Drive also have complaints?
Yes, they have, and I think we had an update on Mangoes last month. Did we? Was Mangoes?
I don't believe so.
Now? Okay. So what's happening with Mangoes, it's, we've had an ongoing issue with Mangoes in the permit parking area. I'm sorry, I'm just looking through last month's. I thought we had an update on it. All right. So what's happening with Mangoes, we have permit parking along a certain portion of Mangoes. The permit parking area, we have some residents who... Cal High parents will come by in the afternoon, wait for their student, but they're not getting out of their car and they're not parked. They're not parking and getting out of their car. They'll sit in their car, they're idling, waiting for, you know, their son or daughter to finish school. Some of the residents along Mangoes who have permit parking are not happy with that. They want us to issue tickets. Mm-hmm. They want us to install red curb. If you know anything about, you know, red curb, I mean, we're not going to install red curb unless there is a safety visibility issue. Our traffic engineer has determined that these two homes on Mangoes, installing red curb is not mm-hmm. going to meet any safety issue. In fact, even if we installed red curb, you can still, as a driver, pull up in front of a red curb. If you don't get out of your car and you're just sitting there and the car's idling, you are technically not stopping and PD cannot issue a ticket. So that's what the issue is. So we're doing a couple of things. We're working with Sarah Cranford, the principal at Cal High. She sends out notices to parents and students asking them not to sit or idle their cars in front of neighbors' homes. The problem with Mangoes, it's on the opposite side of Cal High. You know, it's near a high school. Parents say, look, it's a high school. I'm avoiding Broadmoor, which Broadmoor is just, you know, a parking lot during school bell time. So I'm avoiding that. I'm back here. There's a bridge from the high school to this neighborhood. I'm just picking up my student. I should be able to do that. It's a public roadway. That's true.
That's true, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The flip side of it, the residents that have permit parking, they want nobody on the street during school bell times at all. So that's a challenge. And so,
but it's only 10, 15 minutes.
If even that. Yeah. If even that. So
I mean, the whole point for the permit parking was that cars weren't parked there all day.
All day long. And they're not.
They're not.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So that may be, we may have more items, or we may have more of an update next month, but I don't think we're not going to install red curb. Mm-hmm. So, and they already have permit parking, so we're not going to install permit parking. So there's really nothing else for the TAC to discuss regarding that issue. It's just a, not a disagreement, but it's just a different you know, it's what these two residents would like the city to do versus what we are legally able to do in terms of enforcement. Okay, and then North Bellingham. So North Bellingham, all of you have heard, we've talked about North Bellingham. We have this overflow parking along North Bellingham Way. Last December, we sent out a petition to residents in the Bellingham Way vicinity. I think it was 220 homes that we mailed the petition to. We received 29 back in favor of permit parking, which obviously does not meet that 75% requirement for permit parking. So at this point, what we've got two things. We have a meeting with our city attorney next week to talk about, from a legal perspective, is there something the city can do to work with Highlands Apartments in terms of forcing them to force their homeowners or their tenants to park in their apartment parking. That's going to be a challenge, but we're going to meet with our city attorney and get some feedback and input from him. One of the common responses from homeowners were, we know they're parking on North Bellingham, we don't like it, but they're not in front of my home. Mm-hmm. If you install any type of parking restrictions on North Bellingham, those cars are going to go somewhere else, and they will likely come in front of my home, and I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So we're meeting with the city attorney next week, and then we also, PJ is scheduling a meeting with Highlands Apartment to ensure that all of their parking is being utilized, that they are checking to make sure that their tenants only have, you know, they're only supposed to have one or two cars, but if you have guests that are staying, there's really no way for the apartment property manager to monitor that. So more to come on this. We'll have an update for you. We do know that the homeowner is not happy, and I believe he has a meeting scheduled with the mayor. He may not have a meeting scheduled, but his intention is to meet with the mayor to talk about the parking issue. So if that transpires, we'll update you at next month's meeting, and then we'll provide you with an update on the response from our city attorney's office.
Yeah, that really is a difficult issue because, as you say, if you do anything to restrict the parking on that road, it's just going to spread out into the rest of the neighborhood because of its proximity to the school. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from all of the issues at Cal High, we know that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because where are those cars going to go?
Automatic.
And
so the 75% threshold, is that for just the street that requested the permit parking, or is that for the entire survey area?
No, it's for the street. So each street, if we were to install permit parking on Bellingham, all those homes, if there's 15 homes on Bellingham, 75% of those homeowners would need to support it.
Okay.
So 75% for each.
And it went around halfway around the square, right? Didn't your survey go?
Yep.
Right.
Partway around the square and down some of these other.
It was 220 homes, so it was a large area.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other feedback we received, then some homeowners said, I don't support permit parking now, but if you install no parking on North Bellingham and those cars do move in front of my home, then I do want permit parking, right?
Works.
So it's like, well, for now I don't want it, but later I might want it. So. So that was to be expected. I think we knew that would happen. But it was interesting to hear the feedback from a majority of homeowners who said, we know that they're parking there. We don't like it. We don't like the trash. We don't like to drive down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the collector roadway into our neighborhood. And we drive down, we see all these cars there. However, we would rather have them there than in front of our homes.
And there's still no parking on Ivy Hill?
No, nope. There's no parking on Ivy Hill.
Could that homeowner get petitions and get signatures up to 75%? Would that qualify them to do this?
Well,
navigating the whole problem.
Yes, I would have thought that he would have been advocating.
Right.
He may have. I mean, he may have been reaching out to some of the homeowners. Those are his neighbors. So,
exactly. Yeah. I just wonder if that's
Yeah, I mean, he should have received the survey as well. I believe he did.
I think somebody, I mean, I don't know if anybody resurveys and they, you know, they see something that's not really applicable to their needs, they may just throw away rather than filling it out. That's
yeah. Mm-hmm.
29 is not a lot. Right.
Okay, so that's the North Dillingham update.
We are pretty much. Maybe we do a separate update on the bike master plan.
Yeah, I mean, I talked briefly about it earlier, and so we will have the community workshop sometime in February, I believe. Actually, you know. I'm getting my dates mixed up.
March.
I'm sorry. It's March.
Yep.
The bike subcommittee meeting is February 15th. The community workshop will be in March.
So yes. The subcommittee is going to look at the bike master plan. When is the whole TAC going to look at it?
In March.
But you just said the
March. I know. I'm sorry. I got confused.
That's a February meeting.
Okay, wait. So the TAC subcommittee will look at it in February?
No. The TAC bike subcommittee
right.
will look at it in March. We will bring the... I know, I'm sorry.
Where's the whiteboard?
Yeah, let me get my... Yes, it's March. I'm sorry, it's March. And then...
Because the way you described it, it sounded as though it was going to the TAC subcommittee, bike subcommittee, and then going to the community, but there was no... time in there where it was actually coming to TAC.
We have a master plan subcommittee at 5 o'clock. Aren't we going to still have a TAC that evening, too?
In February.
Yes.
In that case, we can bring that to...
The TAC.
In February.
In February,
on the same day.
I'm sorry. Yes, on the same day. I know.
March is the community workshop.
March is the community workshop.
But we haven't confirmed the community. We have a tentative date.
Well, that's the tentative date.
Right. March 15th is the tentative date.
We still need to bring it to...
It's the third Thursday in March.
That's when we would not have the TAC.
We would have the
community
workshop.
It just needs
workshop,
to go to the
right.
department head meeting for approval.
For final approval. That's what we haven't done yet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know. Today has been a day. The next 3 weeks, it's just nothing but... And they're all different. You know, there's budget, Iron Horse Trail, and Bike Master Plan. I'm getting them confused. But that's... So, yes, the community workshop is tentatively scheduled for March 15th.
And so the bike master plan will come before both the subcommittee attack and the full TAC in February.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it's going to planning commission, the draft plan.
That's got to be early March.
Yeah.
Or does it have to be before the community meeting?
So Lauren gave us a tentative date of the first meeting March for planning commission.
And then it goes to the parks commission.
Okay.
It's going to the city policy committee March 28th, the fourth Wednesday, and then it goes to council for final approval, the first meeting in April.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We've been working on, you guys have been working on that for a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's pretty, considering how long sometimes plans take, it's been a pretty fast process in terms of getting it through the subcommittee. And so that's my confusing update on the bike master plan. Sorry.
And we're thoroughly updated right now on the motorcycle plan for the community of Daniel on Thursday, the 16th of December, 1977. Okay.
Did you hear about the bicyclist that died in Danville on a bike? He was riding an electric bike, and he hit a speed bump, and it knocked him off his bike, and he hit his head.
When was this?
This week.
No, I did not hear that.
Wow.
He was on an electric bike, and he was driding down the street, and he hit one of those bumps, a speed bump.
Oh,
one of our traffic calming measures, not in our town, but in Danville.
Are you a street hunter?
No, I don't. But if you go to the San Ramon Patch, the article's there.
Oh, I have not heard that.
I'm not familiar. What kind of speed will that bicycle hit?
No, the speed bump.
No, but it's an electric bike.
I don't know how fast they go. Yeah. I don't know.
I think they can go up to 20, 25 miles an hour.
I think so.
That's pretty spooky.
But it was that he hit a traffic calming measure and it got thrown off.
I'm not going to say anything. Moving right along. Committee members, any items you'd like to bring up? Okay. How about when we ask city council liaison?
He's not here.
Not here.
Oh, but by the way, we have a new liaison. Oh. It's Dave Hudson.
Oh, great.
Scott Perkins was appointed to to another committee, and they meet the third Thursday of the month, so Dave Hudson is now the new liaison.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I do not understand how folks that work in the city, you guys do all the stuff you do, and the committee members and the
that's why they get paid
members,
the big,
how they get
big bucks.
Incredible stuff. Okay, moving right along, planning commission liaison items.
Well, we had a couple concept reviews this past week. One was for Neighborhood 5 of Faria, which is the same neighborhood that was downsized from 302 to 180. So the developer came in with a concept of what they were thinking just to get feedback before they actually proceeded with a more expensive development plan. So we gave them feedback, and then we also, if you guys noticed the El Nino house on the corner of San Ramon Valley Boulevard and West Side, it's the property's been sold to Mr. Starkweather, and they're the family that owned property. He owns a lot of land, but he owns the property behind Forest Farms, you know, the historic farm. And he's, if you go by that house now, it's actually, you can see there's yellow strapping around it. He's going to try to move the house. And so he's starting the initial steps to actually preserve it. So he buttoned it up because it was leaking, but there's actually strapping around the whole house now. So he's got to get some approvals with the city in regards to moving that house. They want to move it down to Forest Farms. Mm-hmm. Behind Forest Farms would be west on some private property.
Mm-hmm. So what were they thinking of for that area?
For the site at the corner of the boulevard and west side, he came up with a concept plan of a three-story assisted living unit with 60 units with underground parking. So we gave him some feedback on that. You'd have to listen to the tape. And
yeah, I bet you did.
We don't have anything rest of this month, and so we'll have things coming before us, like the bike master plan and whatever. Mm-hmm. So
just that property there, the policy committee, that's on their agenda for Wednesday.
And that would be the property off of Pine Valley, right? Because mm-hmm. there's a conservation easement that
yes.
the city put over the property, which means it's open space, and so that he wants an amendment to that conservation
right.
easement to allow the house to be there. But at one point, he was proposing that his daughter would live in the house, and then the house would be open maybe one or two days a year for the public. And so, there's a negotiation that has to go on that's well above my pay grade. So,
all right.
That's all.
That's it. Okay, how about senior commissioner is not here?
Susan.
Team council is not here? Do I hear a motion? It's been a lot of fun. And if one of you had stayed away, we could have been done.
Oh, listen.